Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
An update now on the shooting rampage at Oak Creek, Wisconsin, at that Sikh temple. In the 2 days since the shooting rampage, more has been learned about the shooter, who left 6 people dead and 3 wounded. Wade Michael Page was killed by police officers on the scene, but he was a U.S. Army veteran from the 1990s who received a less than honorable discharge and was demoted for reasons the Army has not yet disclosed. He was a frustrated neo-Nazi and a member of 2 racist skinhead bands, according to the hate group monitoring organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Alabama-based SPLC has been tracking Mr. Page for roughly a decade. Joining me now is Mark Potok, senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center, joining us from Montgomery, Alabama. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, tracking Mr. Page for roughly a decade might leave some listeners thinking that you had a sort of hand grenade on your radar sights there and might have told somebody about it. Obviously, the Southern Poverty Law Center is constantly giving people updates about the organizations that you track. What did you see in the bio and behavior of this Wade Michael Page?
Well, basically, he was another one of many hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were involved in the kind of hardcore of the white supremacist music scene. We noticed him when he began to, in 2000 thereabouts, began to play in some of the better-known bands like Intimidation One and Blue Eyed Devils. These are real neo-Nazi rock and roll bands. But, and he certainly did talk the talk. He hung out with some very scary people. He may, in fact, have been a patched member of the Hammerskin Nation, which is an incredibly scary and violent skinhead organization. But the sad reality is that he was like, as I say, hundreds of other people. The rhetoric, the world he was in, wasn't much different. And, of course, all the things they say in the music, their propaganda and so on, this is all utterly protected by the First Amendment. So there was nothing there that would have caused us to go to law enforcement. I mean, we certainly do. If we run across in our travels for some reason indications of, criminal plot being hatched or having been committed or anything like that, we immediately go to the police. I mean, we don't play cops.
Sure. I understand. Let's talk a little bit about his background in the U.S. military. He was in the Army for 6 years or more in the 1990s. Any indication that his affiliation with these groups predated his discharge from the Army?
No, it's a really good question because we have looked very strongly in recent years at the problem of extremists in the military. In fact, back in 2006, we did a kind of huge investigative report. And after that, and basically concluding that there were thousands of people entering the military from the extremist world with the thought of getting particular kinds of training and so on. The reason that so many of them were coming into the Army was the recruiters were having such a difficult time meeting their quotas to keep going in the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. We really had a battle with the Pentagon. We tried for several years, both under the Bush administration and then in the first year of the Obama administration, to get the Pentagon to change its rule to essentially adopt a no-tolerance, a zero-tolerance rule. Our thinking being, we didn't want to see the next Haditha, attack on an Iraqi family, some rogue soldier, and then for it to turn out the guy had, a swastika tattooed on his chest. That would not have been good for our country as a whole. In any event, finally, the Pentagon did change their rule.
Right. And let's just say that there's no sense that there's a pattern of discharged Army veterans becoming, skinheads, that sort of thing.
That's true.
We absolutely
don't
want to make that connection.
There is certainly interest on the part of the white supremacist movement and leaders within that movement in recruiting people with particular military skills. But as you say, that doesn't mean that veterans are more prone than other people to joining this movement. I don't think that's so.
Let's talk about the Sikh angle for a moment. We have a couple minutes here, and I don't want to miss that, because is there any dialogue, narrative within some of the hate groups that you are watching and have watched for many, many years of violence against Sikhs, of targeting Sikhs? I've had some challenging conversations over the last 36 hours or so, you know, where people say, oh, well, you know, because Sikhs wear a turban, they might have been mistaken for other people who wear turbans. But of course, it's wrong to think that anybody who wears anything is suspect in the United States. And you don't go taking a gun. And the fact that this guy targeted Sikhs didn't mean he was wrong about maybe he should have been shooting some other people. But are Sikhs a target in some explicit way?
The short answer is no. I have never seen in, 14, 15 years of monitoring the extreme right, anti-Sikh propaganda. And that world, as well as the political mainstream, sad to say, is thick with anti-Muslim propaganda. One need only think of people talking about the Muslim Brotherhood infiltrating the government,
right.
Sharia law being imposed in the United States and all that kind of things, these fantasies, these conspiracy theories. But, our experience is precisely that kind of talk, that kind of the propagandizing and conspiracy theorizing leads to criminal violence. So, while I certainly cannot prove it, I would guess that almost certainly this man did think he was attacking Muslims.
Right.
It's worth remembering that immediately after 9/11, three Sikhs were murdered, and in each case by people who thought they were killing Muslims.
Before we go, domestic terrorism is the designation of this, according to local law enforcement authorities. Does that change things in your view? Does it raise the profile of the investigation by the authorities?
Well, yes. Look, I think it was domestic terrorism. It meets every definition. It was an act not only aimed at the direct victims, but all similarly situated people. So, I think it was absolutely a political act. I mean, everything about it suggests that that's the case. I think they've called it correctly. And, yeah, it certainly raises the profile. I mean, it immediately brings in federal authorities to what might have been merely a state crime.
Talking with Mark Potok, senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center, on the details that are emerging about Wade Michael Page, who was killed at the scene of the shooting rampage at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, a U.S. Army veteran from the 1990s, but who's been tracked for many years by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a frustrated neo-Nazi. Mark, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.